It's gratefulness.
Is anyone grateful today? Yeah. It says it's flowing from my heart. Yes. Gratefulness. Jesus. We have so much to thank our God for. We have so much to be grateful for. When we just look around and see the condition of the world, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We magnify your name for another day's journey. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for being in our right minds, God. Thank you for meeting us in this place of worship. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. Please be seated, saints. We just thank the Lord. You know, that song kind of did something to me. Jesus. Grateful. You know, I'm grateful this morning. I'm grateful right now, hallelujah, even in the midst of my sister having a major accident on yesterday. Yes. So much so that the accident, the force broke a rib and punctured a heart. Had to do open heart surgery on yesterday, and I'm yet grateful because she's still here in the land of the living. God stepped in. The doctors even asked, say, when did she ever have pneumonia? Her children said, we don't remember ever having pneumonia. I don't remember in all of our born days. Well, the doctor, and best he could come up with, Brother David, was that she had scar tissue in her lung. And because of that scar tissue, it stopped her from bleeding out. And I say, look at God. So I'm grateful today. I know it's going to be a long journey for her back, but I'm grateful to the Lord that she's yet here in the land of the living. And if we just think about it, we just look around, we have so much to be grateful for. And I'm out of the business trying to figure it all out, but I say, God, I thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have done, God, and thank you for what you're going to do, because we're on a mission for the Lord. Amen. And heaven is our home. Heaven is our destination. So I bless God on today. You know, we're praying for so many today that's been having symptoms of maybe catching a cold or not sure if it's COVID or whatever. And so we're praying for the saints at home on today that have the awareness of mind, say, well, I'm feeling a little under the weather. Maybe I won't come to church today. And so we're praying. We're praying for the saints. We're praying for the ministry. We're praying for ministries everywhere. We're praying for 3P's Christian Ministries. Hallelujah. We're thanking the Lord for Sister Raquel. Yeah. You know, years ago, you couldn't have drugged Sister Raquel in front of the church to read or just to say hello. She would have been exit stage right. But God is doing something in her heart, and she's grateful. And she was just grateful and happy to be able to read the scripture in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Little means much when it's placed in the master's hand. Yeah. Brother Chucky, thank you so much for standing in for praise and worship on today. Amen. Can we give God glory on today? Hallelujah. You know, ever since COVID, you know, I feel that 3P's Christian Ministry, we're in the building process. We're in the moving forward progress, and I thank God for that. And as you see, there's job openings in the house. You know, we're praying, Sister Amanda, she had to hang it up after so many years and dealing with carpal tunnel, and sometime her fingers would hurt so bad she'd play with her knuckles. So we're praying for her, and we're knowing that God is going to populate folks in the church that can play instruments and sing. Yeah, yeah. And guess what? There's some folks sitting right in here that can sing. You know, and can do some different things. So job openings are, the bulletin is out. See, you know, God is calling for his people to step up, amen, to stand up, to look up, and to give God glory, honor, and praise, amen. So I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Amen. God has brought us from a mighty long way. I mean, the women are still bubbling from the women's retreat. You know, I was down there, you know, I really was helping get everything set up, but I was like a fly on the wall. I'm trying anything I could hear. I'm there listening, you know, but I thank God for the women's retreat that blessed the sisters so much. And by extension, they're looking forward to next year already. And so we're living in great expectation. As Sandy mentioned today, as we go out to the family shelter, it's not just going out there here's some food, you know, here's some activities for the little kids. We're out. We're going with a message. We're going with a heart of gratitude. We're going with a mindset of being able to drop some truths to some of the people that's in that condition, that they'll come to know this Jesus whom we know, and they can tell someone else about it, and they can experience the blessings of the Lord. So we praise God for just, I'm just, you know, I'm excited about the Lord on today. Praise God. Haven't always been talking like this. Amen. But I thank God that I know the Lord today. And so you see the subject already chosen for such a time. Wow. It's something to be chosen. You know, have you ever, out of the blue, somebody chose you for a new promotion at the job or a task, and you're like, me? Wow. They chose me, they want me to be a part of the team. The word is out. We want this one or that one. We want you, you know, not like Uncle Sam too. You know, Uncle Sam, remember they had that poster up there, Uncle Sam wants you. And he's talking about drafting, saying, yeah, we're choosing you, all right, because we need you in the army, you know. But it's something about knowing that, see, God chooses us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And that's a blessing. That's a, you know, when you think about where you've been in your life, you're thinking about where you were prior to knowing who the Lord Jesus is, and then to know that he chose you. I mean, this is something very powerful about that. I was looking at the definition. Chosen is one who is the object of choice or divine favor. When we can think about it, it was God who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light of his. He chose me. Oh, I'm grateful. No wonder the song resonates. I'm grateful, grateful, grateful. You know, God calls men. He calls women for a purpose. God does nothing because he have nothing else to do. And the subject is chosen for such a time. And I was beginning to look at scripture, and all through scripture, when God called people, it was for a certain time, for a certain place, and for a reason to give God glory. To somebody would come to know God. Somebody would hear a message from the Lord. Somebody's life would be changed. And it's a wonderful thing when you can know in your own heart, and you can look in the mirror, and you can say, I've been changed. Wow. I'm not who I used to be. And if you're not careful, your hands will go up and you'll say, thank you, Jesus. You'll say, hallelujah. Oh, God, we're so grateful for who you are. And so I just want to talk for a few minutes because I think it's important to know the times that we're living in. We need to be aware of the seasons of life. We need to be aware and to understand and know that God has chosen us for a reason and for a purpose. Why? To do his will. And so we have some references here. We're going to look at the main text will come from 1 Peter, praise God, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. You know, and so I was looking at this, and so to set the stage, I looked at some various scriptures where the Lord chose people, where he called people, and he called them for a reason. For instance, Luke chapter 6, verse 13 through 16. Sometimes it's so easy just to read over scripture, you know, just pass over it. But then you look a little deeper and say, oh, wow. So it says, and when it was day, he, meaning Jesus, called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And so I never looked at it so much, but here it is. Jesus is now on the scene. He's starting his ministry. He's ushering in the new covenant, a covenant of grace and mercy, and he needs those who will follow him and will be able to continue the gospel on as he goes on the other side after paying the ransom for our sins. And so it says when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. So that tells me it wasn't just the 12. There was a lot of disciples, which means followers. There were a lot of people who were following Jesus. But in the midst of the group that was following him, he said, then he chose 12. He chose 12 out of however many other disciples, followers that was there. But he chose 12, and he also named them apostles, where we hear and we talk about the 12 apostles. And he goes on to name them. He says, Simon, who he also named Peter, and that's the book we're going to be looking at today, and Andrew, his brother. You're talking about ancestry.com. I mean, the Lord got it down pat. But especially you start looking in the Old Testament, you see all these names like, wow. Okay. And James and John, remember the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Jesus chose them for a reason at a time in history for a purpose. He chose them. See, for such a time, he chooses us. In John 15, verse 16, Jesus now, he's got the disciples, the apostles together. He's ministering. He's going through and healing the sick and giving eyesight to the blind, unstopping deaf ears, pointing folks to the new kingdom, letting them know what kingdom living looks like. And he tells them, he say, you did not choose me. He say, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Nothing worse than a tree that has no fruit on it. I don't know for how many years I've tried to plant my wife a lemon tree. And now the house ain't new no more. We've been there 13 years and I still haven't been able to plant that lemon tree because she make lemon pies, see. So it's an ulterior motive. If I can get this thing going, you know, the lemon pies will be flowing. I'm a poet and I know it. No. Yeah. But so he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You see, so he chose them. They didn't choose him. He chose them. Hey, you put down your fishing net and come on and follow me. He told some folk, put down that liquor and come and follow me. Put down the streets and come and follow me. Put down your anger and come and follow me. And he chooses us. Yes. And whenever he chooses us, nothing comes out of it but good.
All right.
He turns our dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows.
Hallelujah.
And so here we see he called the disciples. He called apostles. He's calling them and he's anointing them to go out. And then I even look at Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. He said, then the word of the Lord came to me. Now, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Judah was in a downward spiral because of idolatry, because of sin, because of abominable things that they turned their back on God. And God is calling Jeremiah to be the one to let them know that judgment is coming. Like they used to sing the old song back in the day, get right church and let's go home. He's telling Judah, come on now. Here, God is here and he's saying, stop what you're doing or his destruction is coming. And as we know, destruction did come for the nation of Judah and Israel. And actually, it makes us think today, when we see some of the things going on in our nation, we say, God, how long are you going to allow these things to happen? But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let somebody know. So Jeremiah said, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
That's right.
Can you imagine God's, and he can say the same, he's saying the same thing to each one of us. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Right. And he says, before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart for my use. I set you apart that you can bring glory and honor to my name. And he said, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So chosen for a time is this. He chose Jeremiah. Look, go and tell them what thus saith the Lord. And you know, a lot of time when you tell the folks what the Lord say, don't be surprised when they don't want to hear it. You know, but yet and still, we share the love of God in love.
That's right.
With grace, you know, we don't go browbeating folks, and you know, and it'd be like I told y'all that long time ago. The fella downtown, the homeless guy standing on the corner, all his message was, "Y'all going to hell?" Well, that's not the message. That's not, it's true to a degree if somebody leaves here without Christ, but that's not the way we approach people. We approach people by engaging them. God called David at a time when the people wanted a king. And God said, no, I'm your king. They said, but we want to be like other people. And God said, but if you get a king, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. He's going to extract money from you. He's going to make the young folks slaves and servants. They say, nevertheless, we want a king. And God gave them Saul, and Saul went south on them. And God had to find someone that would stand in the gap as a king. And he called David. So in Psalm 78? Let's see here. What is my thing doing here? Okay. That looks weird. Okay, let's go back over here. My screen went blank for my scriptures. Okay, we'll pull them up here on another app. Thank God for these little apps and stuff. You know, you get spoiled because normally your Bible, you got it highlighted and things in it. But here, in Psalm 78 and 70, verse 70 through 72, this is Asaph writing one of the Psalms, and he's reflecting on the history of Israel. He's reflecting on how God called David. And it says, he, meaning the Lord God, also chose David his, what? Chose. Chose. See, this is what is important for us to get today. Chosen for such a time. God chooses us, see, and when you know you've been chosen, you already up the road a piece. You already got something to go on because you know he's yours and you're his and he has a plan for you. So he said he also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He was a shepherd boy.
Yeah.
And nobody in Oklahoma said, wasn't nobody studying him. Well, if you ain't from Oklahoma, that means wasn't nobody thinking about him. I never did figure out even how to spell studying. So somebody get me after church and let me know how to spell it. But we'd say, I ain't studying you. Okay, anyway. So he also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, the female lamb, sheep, and that had young, he brought him to shepherd. Listen, he chose him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. God chose David to lead his people. God chose David to pen things such as Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He chose David to show, to work through him, and even through the lineage of David, Jesus would be born. Amen. To the Virgin Mary. When God chooses us, it's nothing to be taken lightly. Praise God. And so the text for today comes out of 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And when you look at Peter, his message, now we know Peter though. Remember, he was very outspoken. Remember, he denied Jesus when Jesus, you know, when he was captured by, you know, the officials to set him up to crucify him. And he was really heartbroken from, oh man, I've blown it. I denied the Lord. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. You know, it tells me, see, God is, I don't care what we've done. He's not through with us, especially if we just surrender to him. He's standing with his arms outstretched. And so chosen for such a time. So here in verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, coming to him, meaning the Lord Jesus, as to a living stone. You know, you've seen brick buildings, stone buildings, things that's been put in place that's like a rock. It says a living stone. So remember, Jesus rose from the dead.
All right.
He's not in the grave. And a lot of times you see crosses with Jesus on it, but you see the Christians with a cross with nobody on it because he's not on the cross no more. He is risen just like he said he would.
Amen.
So coming to him as a living stone, listen to this, rejected indeed by men. In Power Hour this morning, we was talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You know, it said he was rejected indeed by men. They said, we're going to kill you. You're raining on our parade. But see, they just don't know. Jesus said, nobody can kill me. Nobody take my life. He said, but I lay it down. And not only do I lay it down, but I have the power to take it up again. And Jesus did just that. So it said he was rejected indeed by men. But listen to this. But chosen by God and precious. How many know that Jesus Christ is precious? Is he precious to you today?
Amen.
You know, the Lord Jesus is my life. It's no way that I would even know how to love my wife if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know how to love you all. I wouldn't even be in a place of trying to reach out and help those who are lost, to feed those that are hungry. It's because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To impart truths to people and let them know there's a better way of living.
Right.
It's because of Jesus Christ, that cornerstone. See, it goes on to say that you also, now get this, you also, we also, as living stones, we're part of the building.
Yes.
See, we're part, Jesus, and we're going to see here that he's that cornerstone. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Three P's I want to let you know today. We're being built up as a spiritual house.
Yeah, right.
See, that God will be glorified.
Yeah.
See, that lives will be changed and transformed. He said, and you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. Listen to this, a holy priesthood. No longer do we have to go to the priest. I think Tyrone was saying this morning when he was closing out in Power Hour that when he came up in Catholicism that he would go and he would confess his sins, but he'd go home like a little rascal again. I mean, no, just, you know, see. So, but now we can go boldly, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time. We don't need an intermediary no more. I don't care where you are, what your situation is. We can go straight to the Lord. Father, forgive me. Father, help me, Lord God. I don't know how to deal with this. See, we can go to him. So a holy priesthood. And why? Why is the writer saying these things to the church at Jerusalem? Why is he, you know, pouring into the people to let them know you're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ when the saints are praising God and worshiping God?
Right.
Spiritual sacrifice.
Yeah.
When it's coming from our heart, gratefulness. Spiritual sacrifices. When we, as Brother Chucky was saying, when we acknowledge who he is, we're not singing to be heard. We're not on American Idol. You know, we're not trying to outsing someone else. But when we're in the presence of the Lord and we're giving glory to him in song and in praise, then God is being glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through. And you know what? God inhabits the praises of his people. If it's 2 in the house or if it's 1,000 in the house and the praises are going up, God is glorified in that. He worships, he honors, he receives that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Nothing in this heart but praises for the Lord.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. And you know what? God, he doesn't change who we are. As human beings, as individuals with our intellect, emotion, and will, and our own DNA, but he changes our heart. He shows us who he is. He shows us his love and his mercy and his grace. And then by extension, it helps us to live according to the way he would have for us to live. Man, that is a blessing. You know, I mean, y'all know how some of us used to be, that you say something the wrong thing and right off, whoop, the fist comes up. Why is it that don't happen anymore?
Thank God.
Why is it instead of that, we find ourselves, bless them, Lord.
Yes.
God, they don't really understand. They don't know God. Bless them. Pray for them who despitefully use you. Yeah, yeah. A new way of living. Holy sacrifices unto the Lord. He goes on to say, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. And we'll find that in Isaiah. He said, behold, I lay in Zion. That's another term, another word for Jerusalem, for the city of God. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Yeah. Now, anybody that's ever built a house, you don't start with the first brick in the middle of the building. You got to have it in a place to where it's going to be true and square, because every other brick is going to be built on that one. So if the first stone is crooked, guess what? What happened to the Eiffel Tower? The Leaning Tower of Pisa all these years? It's a landmark. Well, it ain't really a whole lot to be celebrated. That thing should have been straight. You know, so I thank God that Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is straight.
Hallelujah.
In line,
yes.
And everything that's built upon him will last.
All right.
Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Right. Listen, it's elect, back to chosen, precious. Oh, precious is the flow,
yes.
That makes me white as snow. No other help I know but the blood of Jesus. Okay, that's back to the scripture. And he who believes on him, listen, don't miss this now. See, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the cornerstone. We're talking about God, the Son of the living God. We're talking about the one who is precious, the one who is loving and gracious and kind. He said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. We don't have to be ashamed to say I love Jesus.
That's right.
I'm on the Lord's side. Well, no, that ain't how you used to be. Well, that's the way I am now. You know, I'm not going to be ashamed of if the Lord is blessing me and he's changed my heart and my mind and elevated me in places and whatever it may be. I'm going to deny him it before the very ones he took me away from.
All right.
You know, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was so excited. But okay, I'm still trying to figure it all out. Drove all the way to L.A. from Pasadena to my buddy Tommy's house. And the lights was down low. And all the folks was in there. The dope room in the back. All this stuff. And I'm looking weird to them and they looking weird to me. I'm like, something had changed on the inside of me. I'm sitting there and folks bumping and grinding, and I'm saying, you know, I'm telling them about Jesus, and they're like, what? So it was a change taking place.
Yes.
And I just didn't feel right anymore. But guess what? That don't mean that they stopped being my friends. To this day, when there's a wedding, they call me. When there's a funeral, they call me. I'm still 40-some years later ministering to some of those that was in the dark room. That was in the dope room, telling them about Jesus, this great and precious cornerstone who can change your life around. That's what people need to hear today. So they say, so therefore, to you who believe, see, do you believe today? I don't care what it looks like around you or what other folks are saying, but to you who believe, see, this is a no-so salvation. To you who believe, he is precious. And you don't just deal with something precious any kind of way. My wife is precious to me. Guess what? I'm not jealous like I used to be because, boy, when we was married the first time, Don't even talk to my wife. Hug her, what? You know. But when, I guess I get to just testify sometime, you know. But it takes the Lord to change you.
Yes.
Lord say, what, you don't have nothing to be jealous about. She loves you, you love her. Plus, you can't govern what folks do anyway. But Christ will free you up and show you a new way of living. So when we got married the second time, now look, I'm still, like what they say these days, I'm her covering, right? You know, and I'm going to protect her, but I don't have a jealous streak to where, you know, I can't go to work because I can't leave home by myself. No, Christ frees you up from all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It used to be the old adage say, what was it say? Old worldly thing say, a nervous man can't gamble and a jealous man can't work. You know, but when you come to Christ, things change. Now my hope is in Christ. I love the Lord and he loves me and he's working on the inside of me and he's changing some things around. He's showing me what life is all about, and I say, God, thank you. And that's why the writer say, therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Those who reject, he is yet the King of Kings. And not only has he become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble, people stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. God is calling folks. He's wooing them. And some folks saying, I don't want to hear it. I don't want a part of it. I'm going to do it my own way. And now this very precious Jesus who we draw close to and he draws close to us, those who rejected him, now Jesus become an offense to them. If you follow what I'm saying. You know, to the world, to the natural mind, the Christian lifestyle is crazy. It don't add up. See, but to those who trust the Lord, how refreshing it is, how liberating it is. The freedom that I have now in Christ. I thank God that I'm not a religious person. I'm a man with a relationship with the living God. Yes. See, religion will brainwash you. A relationship with Christ will spirit wash you. Yes. A religion say you cannot go over here, or if you do, you're out. But Christ gives us free will. Mm-hmm. And I can go anywhere I want to go, but guess what? There's places I choose not to go. Because it's not edifying to the Lord. So the main passage I want to look at is verse 9 and 10. But you. Whew, I wish everybody had a mirror. You could look and say, but you. See, but you are a chosen generation. Remember, chosen for such a time. You believers, you who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to understand, I need to understand, we need to understand that we are a chosen generation. I'm not talking about X, Y, or Z. I'm talking about this generation that's living right now that love Jesus. We have been chosen for such a time. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. We're a nation of people who love the Lord. And I thank God, no matter where you go, if you get in the midst of the people that love God, you're not a stranger.
Right.
Amen. Because Jesus is the center of our joy.
Yes.
He said, we are his own special people.
All right.
Wow. That don't make me better than anyone else, but it makes me better off.
All right.
Because I see, I'm special to him, and he'll use me. You know, he'll speak to me. He'll correct me, he'll corral me, he'll anoint me, I know where my help come from.
Right.
See, his own special people. Now, if that be the case, and we are chosen, and we are, what do it look like?
Okay.
Right? What does it look like to be a Christian? What does it look like to be chosen by the God of the universe to serve him? To be delivered from darkness into light. He tells us right here. And so since we're a chosen generation, since we're a royal priesthood, since we're a holy nation, his own special people, why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. I don't care what's happening around you. I don't care what's happening in your home. God has called us to proclaim his goodness, to proclaim his mercy, to proclaim his praises to a dark and dying world, that the only way they're going to hear if the precious people of God will let them know that Jesus lives, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. See, we have to be careful in 2023. I guess this is the 3rd of September, that we don't get overloaded with the cares and the craziness of this world and put the things of God on the back burner. Jesus. It's time for us to raise up, stand up, look up, and declare the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Because Jesus is soon to come back.
All right.
I don't care who don't believe it. The words say he's closer now than he's ever been before. So he's chosen us for a reason. That's why we go into the shelters. That's why we go into the prisons. That's why we don't go into Ralph's Market and start eating the grapes. I'm going to test them before I buy them. You know, you can't do that with a banana. But we need to have some morals about us, you know. They say, when they give you more change back. It's a witness when you say, you know what, I was supposed to get $5 back and you gave me $10. Don't want to interrupt the line, but you overpaid me. Don't you know that's a witness?
Yeah.
And why would we do that anyway? Because it's Christ in us who's making the change, who's making a difference in our lives. So yes, we are royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. And guess what? So we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful. Because verse 10 say, who once were not a people. Who once didn't have an identity. Who once was living for ourselves and ourselves alone. He say, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Is that you today? You know that you belong to God.
Yes.
Who had, and just get this, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Have anybody in here obtained mercy today? I'm getting ready to shut this thing down, but I just want to know, are you a recipient of God's mercy? Are you a recipient of God's grace? Do you have a reason to praise the Lord? You remember Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was persecuting the people? God chose a man named Ananias to go send a message to this man who just now been struck with blindness and can't see because he's going to persecute the people of God. So God calls and chose Ananias to send a word to him. And Ananias said, Lord, he said, oh, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. See, so sometimes we don't know if God has really got it just right, you know, and we got to try to make sure God, you know, you sure you got. Now, God has said, I got this. So Ananias answered, because the Lord said, you know, I want you to go down there and find old Saul. Tell him I got a plan for him. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.
All right.
Think about sometime how much harm maybe we've done in our lives. Right. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, see, God will, he will calm our fears. He will empower us to do his will. All we got to do is trust him. He said, so the Lord said to Ananias, go, see, go do what I told you to do. It's going to be all right. You know, you remember growing up as a kid, you couldn't tell mom, well, I think I'll wash them dishes later. So, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to tell y'all this real quick and finish this up. We had a rule in my mother's house growing up back in Oklahoma, no singing at the table. You sing at the dinner table, you got to wash dishes. I was the baby, I'm the youngest one. I've never had to wash dishes. And something got a hold of me one night, and I just couldn't stop singing at the table. And she said, okay, you go wash them dishes. I'm like... I'm the baby. And back then it was just a pan on the sink. And it was water in it. It had the shrapnel from the food in there. And I, make a long story short, I never sung at the table again. But that was the start of my dishwashing career. And so God tells Ananias, go. For he is a chosen, this is the point. Go, Ananias. Yes, you've heard about him, and yes, it's true. He's killed folks. He's locked folks up. He didn't care if they was men or women. But God is saying, I've changed him. All right. I've chosen him. Now you go and do as I'm telling you to do. So he said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. So I want to let you know that some of the things that we face as a Christian is not going to be easy. You're going to run into some persecution. You may be ridiculed, but that's all right. God's got this and God's got you. And we don't have to worry about none of that. So last scripture, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, my Lord, we ought to be saying, reading this together. Well, matter of fact, can y'all do that with me? Let's read this together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. Just as he chose us in him, there you go, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen, if you don't get nothing else out of this message today, get that. He chose us in him before he said, let there be light. He said, Christy, you're mine.
Thank you, Lord. Mm.
Thank you, Lord. He said, Grandma Catalina, or whatever the kids call her. That's what the little twins call her. He said, you're mine.
Thank you, Lord.
Before the foundation of, God is saying, I knew some challenges you would go through, some struggles you would go through. And that's what God is saying. That's why I sent a word to you. Fear not.
Thank you, God.
Before the foundation of the world. Oh God, we can go around the horn on that one. Blessed us with every, listen, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
Don't let nobody get you off track. What you need, God's got it.
Yes.
What God wants you to have, he got it for you. It's in the word of God. We need to gravitate to it, hold on to it, and allow God to bless us in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be separated and sanctified and set apart for God to use us. Not to walk around like, hey, I'm up here and you down there. No. But that we should live for God.
Yes.
We should live for Christ. That we'd be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. So God, saints, God has chosen us for such a time. When you see stuff happening on the news, he's chosen us for such a time. When you see abominable things, he's chosen us for such a time. He didn't call us to sit back and just say, look what they're doing now. Look what they, no. We need to talk about what he's doing, what he said he's going to do, and he's coming back again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you for this word today. Help us, Lord, to grab hold of your word. Help us to understand that you have chosen us from the foundations of the world. It's not a coincidence. It's divine providence that we're together in one place on one accord at one time to give you glory, God, to say thank you, to worship and praise you for all that you've done. So, Father, we love you and we give you, let your word, God, the word from your scriptures today permeate our hearts, Lord, cause us to meditate on your word and to understand the fact that you've chosen us. And we didn't choose you, but you chose us and you sanctified us. And we want to give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, this first Sunday is communion time.